From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, pushback on the WHO's abortion drive, a standoff at the border, and what did the Supreme Court really say about it? Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. President Biden and the Democrats are building their 2024 campaign on abortion on demand until birth for the entire nation. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was joined by Congressman Chris Smith, co-chair of the Congressional Pro-Life Caucus. He is also senior member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs and represents the 4th Congressional District of New Jersey. Here now is that interview.
Congressman Smith, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
So great to be with you, Tony. Thank you for your great work. It's amazing.
I want to start with President Biden is all in on campaigning on his commitment to abortion. I mean, he can't run on his record, so this is his central theme. Is this where the American people are?
No, absolutely not. Matter of fact, the most recent Marist poll couldn't be clearer that by a margin of 2-1, people want restrictions on abortion. There's a great deal of support for legislation to ensure that taxpayers do not fund abortion. And yet Joe Biden, the abortion president, has integrated abortion into every single policy that he's able to do by executive order. And he's trying to do legislatively abortion until the moment of birth. Can you imagine that, Tony? All 9 months of pregnancy, the children would have no protection whatsoever. And the Democrats have already passed that bill twice in the House of Representatives until we took over as Republicans. But if they get it back, the House, Senate, and the White House will ensure that these babies are utterly killed by dismemberment, beheading, or by chemical poisoning, or that pill, which actually starves the baby to death. I mean, these are gruesome acts that need to be called out. And yet you have a president who just talks in slogan, talks, you know, about reproductive rights. There's no right to decimate the life of an unborn child. And then, as we saw at the most recent March for Life, finally highlighting, and they did a wonderful job, the pregnancy care centers or pregnancy resource centers, as they're often called, 2,700 of them provide great support and love and compassion and no judgments to the women and help them through their pregnancies if they are contemplating an abortion. So that's where the emphasis should be. Nonviolent alternatives like pregnancy care centers, coupled with an appreciation at a time when we know more about the unborn child than ever in the history of mankind and humankind. I mean, ultrasound has shattered the myth that somehow there's no baby there. And most women, when they do see that ultrasound imaging, even if they're thinking of an abortion, so often will say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm already a mother. And I'm already going to have a child.
Right.
I'm with child. It's not a matter of it happens during the birth process.
I'm hoping that in this election, the 2024 election, juxtaposed to 2022, that Republicans won't, present company excluded from this comment, because you've always talked about it. You've championed the life of the unborn, the protection of the unborn, since you came to Congress. In fact, that's why you came to Congress. But I'm hoping that Republicans will talk about protecting the unborn child while the Democrats talk about abortion. But I want to go back to something you said, because I want to set the record straight for our viewers and our listeners. Nancy Pelosi was on MSNBC the other night, and I'm going to play this clip in just a moment, clip 13. She was talking about Republicans wanting to eliminate abortion, access to abortion all across the country. As you pointed out, it's the Democrats that have actually put forward a bill that would eliminate all pro-life laws all across the nation. Play clip 13.
Exactly. The fact is they have to know what it means in their lives, that they're no longer going to have affordable care, that there will be a national ban on access to an abortion. So the election's about freedom.
Your response?
Well, freedom, there's no freedom to butcher a child. There's no freedom to behead a child. And every one of the surgical abortions behead the child. And the later that child is in his or her gestational age, the more gruesome it actually is to behold, although it's gruesome at any time. So, and about half of the abortions now are being done with a pill that actually starves the baby to death. I mean, I'm all for world hunger and alleviating, you know, hunger here at home. Why are we going to starve a child and take their nutrition away to the point where they actually die? Right. So, you know, they talk in euphemisms. This is Orwellian doublespeak on the part of the other side. Yes. They do it all the time. And so our people, to your point on the original comment, pro-lifers need to assert with love and compassion respect for both mother and baby and to do it consistently. Never run from this.
Right.
We're going to win this. And the polls show that when we articulate a message of life, people rally around
us. Right. We wouldn't be here having this conversation if that approach did not work. That's what led to the overturn of Roe. We just need to keep doing what we've been doing for 50 years. I want to very quickly go to this issue of the Biden administration. We're looking at this domestically, but in their foreign policy, they're pushing this consistently. And this week, you wrote a letter to the World Health Organization because they are looking at partnering with a abortion group that would actually use our tax dollars, again, to promote abortion globally.
Yeah, one of the things that Tedros, who's the director general, got his job from the Chinese Communist Party, he runs the World Health Organization. I've known him for 30 years. He's used to tell me how pro-life he was. He is absolutely pro-abortion. So he's been entering into these contracts, MOUs, with people, IPPF, International Planned Parenthood Federation, already has one. There's a group of lawmakers, so-called, in the European Union that go everywhere, and now they have the imprimatur of the World Health Organization to crusade for abortion on demand. And, you know, I went through, there's a document put out by the World Health Organization, and it's all about the model legislation that they want for every country. No gestational limits, just like Biden's doing and the Democrats, abortion till birth. No ability to say no, right of conscience. They say that is a barrier to access to abortion. And then they have no mandatory waiting periods. You know, very often when there's a parental notification or a waiting period or some other small but necessary protection, women rethink it and they come to a different conclusion. They want none of that. And that's what they're pushing. That's the World Health Organization. So the latest, and they may be doing this as recently or as earlier as a few days, they want to partner with the Center for Reproductive Rights, which is one of the most nefarious pro-abortion, aggressively pro-abortion groups on the face of the earth. They try to change laws. That's their job. Planned Parenthood changes laws, but they also do abortions. This group brings through case law, through lobbying of health ministries, but also of legislators, all these strategies so that the unborn child will be absolutely without protections in every country in the world. Back in 2003, I put into the Congressional Record a contemporaneous several-day notes of the Center for Reproductive Rights, at which they said we have to get a little dirtier in what we're doing because they deceive. And it's shocking that WHO, but not surprising in a way, wants to partner with them.
Right. Yeah, with the global power grab that's underway, I mean, not surprising. And this would be pushing abortion worldwide. Chris, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you.
Great to see you, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, stick with us. On the other side of the break, the showdown in Texas between Governor Abbott and President Biden.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As the Biden administration's border crisis continues, Texas Governor Greg Abbott doubled down on his state's right to defend its border. Now, this follows a Supreme Court decision allowing the Border Patrol to cut the razor wire that Texas placed along its border with Mexico. Now, given that the border crisis will remain a top political issue through the 2024 presidential campaign, what can we expect as the legal and political standoff between Texas and the Biden administration escalates? Joining us now to discuss this and what's happening on the ground, the land commissioner for Texas, Dr. Don Buckingham. Commissioner Buckingham, welcome to the program. Good to see you.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be on with you today.
So lay out for us, I saw the governor making a statement yesterday that he has a constitutional obligation and a right to protect the border of Texas because there's an invasion. It does not appear that the governor's backing down.
No, I don't think you're going to see anyone in Texas backing down except a couple of our very liberal Democrat elected officials who are already joining the side of the Biden administration, as one would expect, because they sing as a choir. But Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution is very clear. If we are under invasion, we don't have to ask anyone to protect our border. And since the federal government and the Biden administration is completely abdicating its responsibility to protect our border, then we're just going to jump in and do what we have to do.
So with the federal agents, they're cutting the border wire. How's that playing out on the ground?
Well, let's back up a little bit and let's talk about the park in question. This is a park that also happens to have a golf course in it. It's a city park. The golf course happens to be where the local golf team practices every day. And really, the local citizens had no access to this park because of the flood of migrants and some of them very dangerous, some of them not. But the staging area that the feds were using it for to process those migrants. So what Texas did is just say, hey, this is an unsafe part of the river where the risk of drowning is very high. We want to take this off of the path of our migrants. And so we're going to reinforce it with the wire. We're going to make it safe for the local citizens to access that park. And so now what we're doing is we're just going to do everything we can for that complete operational control of the border. I'm disappointed in the Supreme Court's decision. Realize this is a temporary move about the injunction, and we're going to continue to fight.
So just to be very clear here, Texas is taking steps to protect its citizens. I mean, this is as you just described there, this is a hazard for the public in some cases. People coming across the border, you don't know who's coming across, you don't know what they're coming across for. So the citizens that live there, do they not have a right to expect the government to protect them?
You would think so, right? The citizens, that's what government is for, is to protect you against the evil intentions of your neighbors. And so that is exactly what we're doing. We're being sure that these kids can practice golf in a safe place. We're taking access to a dangerous part of the river where loss of life is much more likely. We're trying to take that off of the paths of the migrants coming across. And so that's all that Texas is trying to do. And the federal government is actually blocking that. You know, when you look at the hundreds of miles of border that we have, the agents can't be everywhere. So the barriers, the wire, the walls, what they do is they channel people who are coming across into a certain area so that they can be accessed by law enforcement and Border Patrol.
So, Dr. Buckingham, let me ask you this question. There are those, and right now it's just kind of saber rattling, but saying that Joe Biden, President Biden, should federalize National Guard troops there in Texas. What happens if he makes that move?
Well, he'll have 22,000 people that he gets to pay for, which is a big chunk of money. You know, we'll see. I mean, he has the ability to do that, unfortunately. But that being said, it would be an incredibly foolish move. You would move thousands of soldiers off the border who are protecting our border. I've heard estimates it's upwards of 80% of the bodies on the border trying to keep our border safe. Let him fight that fight in the election year and win the votes and hearts and minds of people. He's not going to do it. Our border communities are amazing. They're gorgeous. The people who live there are wonderful people. They are being hurt by Biden's decisions every single day. They're completely overwhelmed by this massive migration that's coming across. And I think it's going to turn the tables.
Speak to that for just a moment. The financial burden, the infrastructure that is being impacted by this uncontrolled migration.
You're talking about 6 million people over the last several years. That is more than the single population of over 33 states. These folks come in, they're given a court date at this point. We're booking 6 years out. They're giving full access to all of our Medicaid benefits, all those types of things. My understanding is they also get cell phones. They're not allowed to work legally. They are completely overwhelming the healthcare systems, the schools. We're robbing them of their American dreams. And I keep trying to remind everybody, these are not just free people coming to a better life. They are completely enslaved by the cartels and the most violent gangs in our country. And they are basically beholden to sell drugs, sell their bodies, do terrible things. It is the largest expansion of slavery that this world has ever seen, and we just shouldn't be standing for it.
So Commissioner, then if I follow that along, the logical conclusion would be that this enslavement, this modern-day slavery, is being facilitated by the policies of the Biden administration by refusing to enforce the law, not only protect the Texas citizens, the citizens of other border states, but also the migrants that are coming to this country.
Well, look at the New Hampshire primary we just saw. The top issue in New Hampshire was border security. It doesn't get much farther away from our southern border than New Hampshire. So even people in the Northeast are understanding and seeing what a problem this is and the consequences of it. So absolutely, it should be an issue. We should get complete operational control of the border. We want legal immigration. We are a country of immigrants ourselves. 1 million of us couldn't walk across the border into Mexico without some significant issues. And so we just need to realize we have a system of immigration. It could use some improvements, but we want people to come here legally and have access to the American dream.
Absolutely, and be assimilated into the American society the right way. Commissioner, thanks so much for joining us and giving us an update. Obviously, a lot of people very, very interested in what's happening in Texas. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. God bless you.
All right. Commissioner Buckingham, land commissioner there in the state of Texas. All right, you can weigh in. The House is going to be back next week, and this is going to be an issue. Text the word border to 67742. That's the word border to 67742, and we're going to deliver a petition to the House leadership, encouraging them to stand strong and support our southern border and those that are working to protect it. All right, coming up next, we're going to look at the constitutional issues at question here with Ken Kukowski. Don't go away.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day, presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? FRC has the answer, The Washington Stand. The Washington Stand is Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview, covering issues from abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty, to education, to what's happening on Capitol Hill and around the world. The Washington Stand reports on the top stories affecting faith, family, and freedom that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. Subscribe today to receive the latest news from The Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com. Again, that's TWS to 67742.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But we need your help to keep going. With your support, we can continue to equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Will you consider partnering with us today? To give,
Text the word GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. All right. Text border to 67742. That's border to 67742 to sign the petition to the House leadership. All right. The escalating situation between Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the Biden administration regarding this crisis at the Texas-Mexico border raises questions straight from a constitutional law book. As Governor Abbott said in a statement yesterday, he believes that Texas has constitutional authority that supersedes federal statutes at the border. News pundits continue to assert that Texas has defied a Supreme Court order. But is that really the case? Joining me now to shed some light on these legal issues is Ken Klukowski, a former senior counsel in the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice and former special counsel in the White House's Office of Management and Budget. And he has also litigated constitutional cases in the U.S. Supreme Court. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
So very quickly, how did we get here? The Texas won an appeal to the Fifth Circuit that said that they could protect this wire. That went up to the Supreme Court this week, and the court refused to allow that to stay in place until the full litigation is done. And that's what brought us to this current point of crisis. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, Tony. In the lawsuit, as it was going up on appeal, Texas asked for an injunction pending appeal, which is just a temporary measure. They're saying, you know, we need help now, even while this case is proceeding. The Fifth Circuit, in an opinion, a great opinion written by Judge Kyle Duncan, explained why Texas was on the right side of the law and thus granted this injunction. Then President Biden's Solicitor General, Elizabeth Preliger, applied to the Supreme Court to issue an emergency stay pending appeal. And by a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court, surprising many people, surprising me, granted that stay, which essentially took that temporary injunction from the Fifth Circuit and put it on the shelf, so that Border Patrol agents could go back to carrying out their orders, which polling shows they do not want to carry out, but the orders they're getting from Washington to actually cut through this razor wire and removing it from the border.
Okay, so Governor Abbott says, I don't care. The Constitution gives me the right, if the federal government is not protecting us against an invasion, for me to do it. And so he is moving forward. Is that what we have?
That's right. And there are, with a couple add-ons. First of all, there are those saying, oh, Texas is defying the Supreme Court. No, they're not. Right now, Border Patrol agents are free to be cutting the fence, and Texas personnel are free to be setting it back up. So it's Texas is not under a court order here. So they can continue to try and secure the border, ironically doing the Border Patrol's job. They are carrying out the mission of the Border Patrol, which, again, polling shows that Border Patrol agents wish they were being able to do right now. But that's right. You have some people setting up the wire while you have other people cutting through the wire. So it's just total chaos while this lawsuit continues.
So are we on the path to a constitutional showdown between Texas and the Biden administration?
Ultimately, it should end up at the Supreme Court on the merits. And that is because this is like a belt and suspenders approach to securing the border. Okay. Is in terms of actual immigration policy, only the federal government has that under the Constitution. But among the powers that are reserved to them, states have the authority to secure the property within each of them, to protect their citizens, to set up and enforce a criminal code. So just like the federal government could be securing the border, if they refuse to, then as people come into Texas and in doing so are committing illegal acts, well, then Texas law enforcement has constitutional authority to then enforce Texas law.
Are we going to see more of this conflict between the states and the federal government when you have this ideological divide where you've got an administration pursuing, really in many ways, Marxist ideology with a constitutional republic? It just doesn't seem like it works.
Well, at least while the current president is in office, that unfortunately appears to be the case. Now, if it looks like President Trump is going to be the Republican nominee for president, if he defeats President Biden, I think you would have a fundamentally different border policy at that point. And one where I think Texas and the federal government would then be sailing in the same direction.
Very quickly, last question for you, Ken. We're up against a break, but this is what the founders envisioned as a check and balance, is it not? States being able to enforce the law if the federal government does not?
That's right. Under our Constitution, we have two separate sovereignties. You have the federal government and state governments. They are co-equal sovereigns. One doesn't override the other. The Constitution assigns to each one their own specific responsibilities. And in this case, both levels, federal and state, have powers that that level of government can use that has the effect of securing the border and protecting people and property within each state.
Ken Kulkowski, always great to talk with you. You bring great clarity to these big legal issues. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. God bless.
Yeah, the founders had great wisdom in the way they structured our system so that you do have these checks and balances. This is why we need to support good people at every level of government, local, state. It's so important.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. To sign a petition to House leadership urging them to use all available leverage to stop the flow of illegal immigrants, drugs, human trafficking, and more across our nation's southern border, visit frcaction.org/border or text border to 67742. Again, that's the word border to 67742. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.